Hello there. Welcome back to You, Me, and
the podcast.
And today is going to be You, Me, and the Guilty Pleasures. And let me tell you, there are a lot. So would you like to get us started or should I?
Yeah, I have one main one, which you kind of know already, but I'll get into it. My guilty pleasure is DoorDash. And it is really, it's gotten so bad to the point where, like, if I feel depressed at all for any reason, I'm like, okay, I deserve some DoorDash. And that's, like, this is the first thing that pops in my head is, like, I don't have to go out. I just DoorDash. So I had a whole week of DoorDashing that I just got out of. So I'm back in the gym. I'm back working out. I'm back, you know, getting my shit together. So that's nice. But, yeah, DoorDash is definitely my guilty pleasure. And, like, I don't think I can ever, like, part with it. Like, I'll delete the app and then I'll literally a couple months later, not even a couple months, dude, a couple days, a couple hours, I'll just go back on the phone and be like, okay, I need to upload this guy again.
Did you know that they have their own credit card now?
No way. They are gonna put people in debt. And that
they have their own credit card.
That is so messed up, dude.
Yeah. Also, DoorDash or Uber Eats?
DoorDash. Uber Eats actually has really good selections with restaurants. Like, there are restaurants that are on Uber Eats that are not on DoorDash. So they have some kind of, like, exclusivity going on, right? But, you know, I don't really care too much for those restaurants. Like, there's Starbucks on there, but, like, I'm not going to DoorDash. Like, I'm not going to Uber Eats Starbucks, right? Because I'm a tea drinker now, not a coffee drinker. But, yeah, DoorDash all the way.
Yeah, I don't know why I prefer DoorDash either, but I do. I'm also very liable to any sort of minor inconvenience. I'm like, I deserve a treat.
I know. That's how it is. Yeah.
deserve a treat.
Dude, I don't know. And, like, it's crazy because, like, I don't know if you've heard, but all these food delivery apps, they're not making any money. They're actually losing money right now. All of them.
It makes sense.
Yeah. They're either breaking even or making just, like, a little bit now. But for the longest time, these guys are not making any profit. And surprisingly, said by John Oliver, this was one of his sets. He was talking about delivery apps. But he said that the people who are actually making the most out of this or, like, getting the most benefit is us, the consumer.
Really?
Yeah. The drivers are not making shit.
DoorDash on average is, like, $10 more expensive than whatever.
Yeah, and you would think that the restaurants would get their share, their fair share. But there are literally restaurants who are getting, like, only 45% to 47% of the cut.
They take a huge cut, which is crazy.
Crazy, man. And they're still making a loss. So I'm just like, I don't know what these guys are doing. Like, there has to be a better way. But
yeah, also I think, like, the base pay for, like, a delivery driver is like $3.50.
Is that really? Without a tip. Damn.
So where's all that money going? Is my question.
First of all, people need to start tipping. Like, if you're already paying that much, might as well pay a little bit more and give it to the person who's actually delivering your food, right? But,
I give a little bit of a tip, but then, like, I've also had them, like, do me dirty.
Oh.
So I'm like, I reserve the rest of your tip until the end of the delivery if everything goes smoothly.
That's smart, actually. That's really smart. I didn't even think about that. Because I know they have, like, a post-tip option. Like, you can tip afterwards.
Yeah.
But, I never thought about that. I just put the tip in there and I'm like, okay, whatever.
Because I'm not going to give you a tip and then have you fuck up my order.
Because then I'm like, okay, if I tell you beforehand that I'm tipping you well, then you'll take extra good care of my food. You know what I mean? Like, you'll deliver it as it came. You won't add more toppings on that shit.
Dude, I ordered a box the other day and I got, like, I ordered, like, a whole box. And I got, I think, like, a soft potatoes taco and some napkins and some sauce.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Oh, wait. Yeah. Wait.
So they probably delivered the box to somebody else.
Oh, no. Or they kept it for themselves.
Or that.
Which has happened. So, on the maps, like, there was a moment in time where my order was literally in the middle of a Safeway parking lot and they were eating it. I know because I was timing that shit. Like, when it comes to food, I will watch the clock. Like, every minute counts, okay? From the moment they pick up the order to the moment it comes to my house, I expect no stops. Besides, obviously, if they're doing, like, double dashes or whatever the heck it is, right?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was really sad because, after that stop that they had and they started moving. I'm like, oh, the car's moving. They didn't come to my house. They didn't deliver shit.
Really expensive, but then like also like they've added like the expanded delivery fee or whatever.
Yeah.
And we pay for like the Dash Pass, and I'm like, I already pay for Dash Pass, and you said zero delivery fees.
Right. That's true.
And now you're adding 150 onto.
I'm telling you, dude, they're losing money. Oh, so they're trying to find ways to like add on to that.
You know what else they're doing? They're doing happy hour.
Okay.
So this, I think it's from 3 to 5.
Is it for like select restaurants? Like, is it up to the restaurant?
Yeah, for select restaurants, you get like for Popeyes, you get 50% off of one item, which is not bad.
That's not bad. I mean, if you're already planning on door dashing, yeah. Right? I'm sure you can get all that money back by driving over.
With Popeyes, like the five tender dinner, you can get it for basically like menu price.
Okay.
After tip and everything.
Okay. I mean, that's not bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah, yeah. Because then you're like saving money that you would otherwise be spending on just the delivery, right? Yeah. And all that. So happy hour, I give it a thumbs up. But the whole delivery system, revenue, like, you know, thing that's going on, they're not making any. So I don't know where they're going wrong. Like, their business model just sucks.
Lately, I've noticed, like, if you, like, didn't receive something, mm-hmm. you have to go through. Like, before, it used to be like, I didn't get this. And then, like...
Yeah, they would give an instant refund, or they would give you, like, Dash credit.
Now they ask you for a photo and this, that, and the third. Yeah. And I'm like,
but I'll be real honest with you. It's very easy to cheat the system. And this is coming from someone who's done it. Actually, I haven't done it. Look, I had no clue. Like, I wasn't the type of person to do that. I'm not the type of person to do that. I don't give a shit, right? But sometimes... Okay, I'll be real honest with you. My brother did it a lot. He's a teen. He's a kid. But he, like, you know, he kind of got us, like, blacklisted on the DoorDash account because DoorDash kind of knows that we're, like, the boy who cries wolf, you know? And we would just lie and be like, oh, there was a hair in our food. Can we get a refund? And then they'd give us a credits. And then we'd, like, buy. But this was, like, before I realized that, you know, like, the drivers don't make much. And, like, you know, this is affecting the restaurant and, like, whatever it is, right? So, you know, I don't do it as much. But my brother really used to milk the system. And maybe we're the reason why they're going bankrupt. So, I don't know. It could very well be.
I feel like
they're making it hard.
Most services are hurting right now.
How so?
Like, most, like, streaming services are also hurting right now.
Really?
Yeah.
How? Like, why?
I don't know. Like, honestly, I don't know why Disney's failing. That doesn't make any sense
it's,
to me.
Dude, it's literally a premium service, and they don't have to do much except upkeep.
As somebody who's an econ major, like, when I first, like, the streaming business model came out, I was like, oh, Disney's for sure going to be the last man standing because mm-hmm. they own all of their IP. They don't have to outsource their IP, but mm-hmm. Netflix does. But now Netflix doesn't, because Netflix has, like, their own, like, stuff to stand on. Like, Bridgerton's huge. Like, there are a lot of Netflix shows that are really good.
Yeah.
But I feel like most, like, HBO Max and, like, Disney, in theory, should be the last man standing because they own so much IP that is already there that they don't. But I also think, like, a lot of, like, HBO Max, like, what have they had lately that has been a hit? They had, like, Pretty Little Liar reboots that weren't, like,
dude, HBO Max, I don't know. It kind of went downhill for me.
Only.
Yeah. Like, I would watch their old stuff. I would watch all, like, old HBO stuff.
Exactly. Nostalgia purposes.
Yeah. But I don't think, like, they have any new content that I would really be interested in. And it's crazy because Peacock is fairly new, right? And the only reason, I'll be real honest with you, the only reason why I went on Peacock, like, partially, like, the reason why I even considered it was because they have The Office on there now, and The Office was taken off of Netflix, right? It's kind of interesting to see, like, all of these streaming services kind of, like, not even fight it out. It's just...
Have you seen any Apple TV shows?
No.
The fidelity on Apple TV is wild.
Really?
It is so much better than most streaming services.
Really?
The fidelity is crazy. If you have a good TV, uh-huh. like, watching Apple TV, like, shows and, like, movies and stuff is, like, such an experience.
Okay, that's so interesting. I don't know. Every time I saw, like, Apple TV, I'm just like, okay, what?
No, it's not.
What could it possibly have?
It doesn't really look rinky-dinky, but...
Is this something I've never considered? Like, if you already have something that works, like, if it's not broke, right? Like, why fix it, right?
No, they have, like, their own, like, they have their own IP. Like, they have, like, Foundation's on there, Severance is on there. Ted Lasso is an Apple original.
Okay.
They have a couple of things.
Yeah.
Not stuff that I'm like particularly fond of, but they have a lot of stuff.
I'd consider it once I run out of once I run out of stuff on Peacock.
The one thing I will say is like if you're looking for quality, like they definitely have the quality of content that I feel like Netflix and stuff doesn't have. Because you have to pay like Netflix, don't you, to get like Ultra HD or whatever.
Oh yeah, now you do. Right. Now there's like a premium. Yeah, there's like more stuff to add on. I know. But like, you know, they're sitting in the back room trying to figure out how they can like milk more money out of the stuff. Like first they used to be what, like $8, $9?
Something like that.
Yeah, they used to be like under 10 and now also they're the whole like password over
sharing shit.
Oh yeah. But they realized it didn't work out, so then they took it off. Dude, that was not it. That's I was just staring so at it.
Dumb.
And I'm just like, bruh, because I'm leeching off of my parents' Netflix right now. And I'm like, you're putting me through such a dilemma right now. How can I live, laugh, and love in these conditions? Like, I need my shows. Because it had all my shows, too. By the way, it cleaned house. So when once it was brought back, like once people were allowed to use it out of the house or whatever it was, right? Like they brought it back. All my shows are gone. So now I don't even like have, I don't even like me being ADHD, you know, I forget stuff. So now I don't even remember like half of the shows that I was like half deep into. So that's great. Yeah.
I love Paramount Plus. I feel like Paramount Plus is really underrated because you can watch like episodes of anything that's new on Paramount Plus.
Interesting.
And we get it for free because we already paid for Walmart.
What do you mean any episode though? Like,
so like most CW shows are like for free on Paramount Plus.
Yeah.
Like they just have like any, like, any show that you would watch on like live TV, they have like the newest episodes. Like, you know how like Netflix doesn't update until like all of
It's like a seasonal thing. Yeah.
They have like literally if there was an episode that came out yesterday, they'll have it today.
Oh.
So it's like, okay, if you're following a show, which I don't think that people do now, but, but it's cool.
I think it just depends on what you're prioritizing when you're watching stuff, right? Like, are you the type of person to binge? Are you the type of person to watch something that's coming out every day and you want to keep up with it, right? Or like even nostalgic purposes, like if I'm trying to watch a certain show, obviously it's only going to be on certain streaming like channels. So I think it just matters at the end of the day, like what.
But a lot of stuff like you can get for free with like other subscriptions. So like if you have Xfinity, you can get Peacock for free.
Yeah.
If you have Walmart Plus, you can get Paramount Plus for free. Mm-hmm. If you can bundle like Hulu, whatever, this and the third. And it honestly all comes down to like $70 a month, which is like what you would pay for cable.
So. Right. Yeah. And you're getting like much more with that, right? Like you're able to watch movies and all that good stuff. So
yeah, and I feel like everybody has a live feature these days.
Yeah,
like YouTube has a live feature, Hulu has a live feature.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. So what's your guilty pleasure?
I would say rom-coms.
Oh really?
Rom-coms or like listening and watching the same thing over and over again.
Okay, what was the last rom-com you watched?
Anyone But You.
Is that
the one with Sydney Sweeney and Glenn Powell?
I haven't seen it.
We watched it like, I think we watched it twice or thrice. So I guess in that case, two things. But no, it's pretty cool. It reminds you of like early 2000s like rom coms.
Okay.
But it was made this year. Or last year.
Yeah, dude. The new rom-coms that are coming out, I don't know.
I love a kitschy rom-com. Kitschy movies in general. I love kitschy movies. Mm-hmm. But kitschy rom-coms.
See, this is where we like so differ. I mean, we differ in like so many different spots. But the only rom-coms that I can really watch are the Korean dramas. Only because like they're so, for me, they're more like heartfelt. And they tug more at the heartstrings than American movies do. And just like the comedy aspect, like I feel like they do every emotion right. Like any emotion you throw at them, they'll be like, we got you. Like the horror, the suspense, the thriller, the romance, the comedy. Like, I don't know. I like the way they depict their humor. And I just like, I just can't do romantic comedies here, like at the American theaters. Like, really? I just can't. Yeah.
I don't know. I can't. I love them. It's just so cringy and corny. And it's just,
that's the stuff I can't stand, bro.
It's fucking amazing. It's
can't stand it. One thing Hollywood does really right, in my opinion, is thriller movies. Like, or even just like the offbeat sort of thriller. I don't know how to explain it. Like all the way, okay, from sci-fi to like all the like Tarantino movies, right? Like Pulp Fiction, like all the classics that just are timeless that you can watch over and over again that just have like this element to them that you're not going to find in the movies that are being produced these days. Because I feel like nowadays, let's be honest, it's all horror is in season, all like every year now for the past 3 years, there have been a lot of horror movies that have been coming out. But I'm not a horror girly only because like just jump scares don't really scare me. It's not me. Like I just can't, you know, I can't sit there and be like, oh wow, that was, you know, that was great. You know, I don't know.
Do you watch Indian thrillers or like Indian horror movies?
There was one that my brother suggested. I think it was a show on Netflix. I think there was some like scary Indian show, but like it just, I never got past like the second episode. But apparently a lot of like people watched it. But
Indian horror is like psychologically like it'll mess you up psychologically.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it it's even, that bad?
Like did you never watch Pulpuliya?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Dude, I watched that shit as a kid and that like that would follow me into my dreams. Like
that's
that
what I'm
scary.
Saying. Like it'll yeah. fuck you up mentally, right?
But I watched that movie like not too long ago, meaning a couple years ago, like as an adult, right? And I'm just like, let me see why was I so scared? Like, you know, like all I remember is there's this dude like walking the premises, right? But at the end of the movie, not to like spoiler alert, but like it's a very old movie. Everyone needs to have seen it at this point, right? But at the end, he's like, what is he like a psychologist, a psychiatrist of some kind? And he was just like, oh, this is a mental disorder and she's not like there's no real ghost, she's just crazy, right? And I'm like, okay, wow, like that's cool. Like that makes a lot of sense. But like I have to admit though, like those scenes where she would be walking around singing.
Creepy.
Oh my God. Like it was prime. I'll give it that. I'll give that movie props for bringing the scary factor.
I watched Haseen Dilruba on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
That shit was a lot. With Rick Rathmissi and Thapsee Pannu.
Okay.
That was really psychologically like fucked up. Well, not like fucked up, but like it fucked me up.
Did it get like released late? Like is it new?
Yeah, it's a Netflix movie. It was last year or last year. I think it was 2022 or 2023. And it was a lot.
I have to get into this genre, dude. I haven't even considered like Indian thriller or Indian like scary.
Haseen Dilruba, I think, was done really well.
Mm-hmm.
I would watch it again, but it kind of like gave me nightmares, so maybe not.
Was it really that bad?
It wasn't that bad. It was just a lot. There was a lot of emotions.
Okay.
I went into it thinking that it was gonna be like dark comedy, because that's how it like in the
is trailer, that how they depicted it?
Yeah, in the trailer, that's how they depicted it. But then like, it was not that.
Okay.
It got way darker. I watched Tanhaiya, which was like a episodic thing with Surbhi Jyoti, and I forgot who the guy was, but that was kind of fucked up. Well. It's like a haunted mansion and it was just a little weird.
So is it like a mood based thing? Like if you're in, like if you feel like watching a scary movie, like do you have like seasons, like phases or?
No, with anything that's like horror or thriller, it's literally just because I like the actors.
Oh, really?
I love Rick Rathmissi.
So you watch through all of that and give yourself the heebie-jeebies just for the actors?
Yeah. I love Thapsee Pannu. Uh-huh. And I love Rick Rathmissi. And then from the trailers, I was like, oh, this is going to be okay.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'll watch it. And then I got way too deep. And
oh.
Stuff like that, I can't just like stop watching. I have to like watch it all the way through. Mm-hmm. There needs to be a conclusion. Otherwise, it's going to fuck me up.
Yeah.
And so... That and then Surbhi, I love Surbhi Jyoti, and so that's why I watched Tanhaiya, because I just wanted to watch something that she was in, and it was not great.
I have to ask, because I don't think I've really asked you this question. I think I know the answer to it, but I'll ask anyway. But have you seen any animes at all?
Yes.
Which ones?
Have
you seen Death Note?
No. I watched a lot of Inuyasha as a kid. I watched, it was like basically like a spinoff of Romeo and Juliet. But I forgot what it was called.
Oh.
And then there was a couple other things, but I don't remember. Inuyasha was like the only thing that I like vividly remember.
Oh, okay. I ask because like Death Note, it's like, it's not scary. It's not going to give you nightmares or anything. It revolves around like death. Basically, like if you write somebody's name in this notebook, they will die and they will die of like natural causes or like whatever you say they'll die by. I think like if you say like, oh, death by heart attack. At this time, they'll die at that time, and it gets really crazy because the government and like even the US FBI and CIA, like they all get involved into trying to find and catch this guy because he's literally killing off like all these politicians. So I do recommend that, but I know you're not like very much into like sort of like the thriller, but you are into
I like suspense is okay. Most
oh girl, you will love this show. I recommend
did
it.
Did you ever watch What Happened to Monday on Netflix? That's also a Netflix original. Mm. It's a movie. It's really good. It's basically about they live in like a dystopian society, uh-huh. and in that dystopian society, they're trying to population control, mm-hmm. and so you can only have one child. Okay. And so there's
sounds a lot like a country that we know about.
And so they're like in this particular one, like she has seven girls who look similar, mm-hmm. right? And so basically, like they all go out one day of the week.
Oh.
And it's a lot. Wait, but it's really good.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gotta
what
suck.
What Happened to Monday. Interesting. It's highly like it's also a Netflix movie.
Okay.
Highly, highly recommend. It's older now. Uh-huh. It probably came out in like 2015 or something. Mm-hmm. But yeah.
I feel like Netflix has a lot of like hidden gems. Like, you know how like Netflix also caters to you and like what you've already watched, and then it recommends you, like personally, like it's gonna recommend me a lot of K-dramas. It'll recommend me like a lot of sort of thriller shows from, you know, like it, like Breaking Bad and like, you know, from there on, right? All like those like sci-fi shows, right? But I don't know, like sometimes I just get like when there are too many options in front of me, like I can't choose properly. And I'm like, okay, what if I choose the wrong show? What if it's not good? So that's where I get stuck, because I'm just like, okay, how do I know if it's a good show, right? And I get like very skeptical, and then I start going back to shows I've already seen. I'm like, okay, whatever, I'll just
do
restart.
Do not build your list.
So people do recommend stuff to me, but I'm kind of traumatized because like this one friend like gave me a show and like I watched it and I was like, this is so mediocre, dude.
No, I'm talking about like the list on like Netflix.
Are you saying like the list that they recommend to me?
No, like
the watch list that I can make for myself?
Yeah,
but like you got to make time out to like scope around, watch the trailers.
Well, whenever I get into those indecisive moods, that's what I do. I just add stuff to my watch list.
No, it's smart. I do have a couple
because
things.
Then like I'll go back and I'll be like, okay,
yeah, you know? But even then I have a mood and I can't decipher my own mood. Do you ever have those like moments where you're just like, I don't know what I want, you know? Yeah. What I mean, so I'll be like, you know, I have my food ready and everything, and I was just like, I'm looking through like all the stuff that I'm watching at the moment through Netflix, and then I'm like, I don't want to watch any of this. But then I'm left with like, okay, what do I want to watch? And I literally have no answer to that.
You don't
that.
Have time pass shows? Time pass is such an Indian concept.
I know.
And Russell Peters had a joke. He was like, that is the most Indian concept. It's the passage of time. But we call it time pass. Like, I know. It has two meanings. Passage of time, but then also something that you do for time pass.
Well, that's like the most Indian thing I've ever heard.
And like, he was like, if you say that, wow. It comes with this gesture.
I know, like that's like natural. Exactly. Like it comes with it.
For me personally, like I have shows that like when I'm falling asleep at night, mm-hmm. I watch sitcoms only, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. While I'm eating or like doing something, it has to be a show that I've already watched, because then I can zone out, whatever.
Yeah.
There are shows that I've watched that are like, okay, if I'm working or whatever, like Desperate Housewives, mm-hmm. cannot be on, like, because I'm still watching through it. It cannot be on while I'm working because I'm not gonna pay attention.
Yeah.
So like I feel like that like helps me regulate my schedule personally. Yeah.
Lately, and I think like I mentioned this in the live stream as well, I've been watching this gamer dude like literally just play games and stuff, and I'm like, okay, I get it now. Like I get why boys do this, where they don't play the actual game, they watch somebody else play, mm-hmm. and it's for like the commentary and like how quick everything goes, and it's just like, it's not mandatory, right? Like a show, you need to like watch it for the plot and know what's going on and stuff. But then like watching this gamer guy do some random shit and have some funny stuff to say, like it's chill, you know, it's easy. It's easy on the mind when you're not trying to think too hard. So yeah, that's my time pass show, I would say.
I love any like sitcoms, literally any sitcom and the entire, like I'm currently watching Reba. Mm-hmm. You know who Reba McEntire is?
No.
The redhead from the early 2000s. Single mom who works two jobs, who loves her kids.
Oh, that's familiar.
I'm a survivor. That
oh, okay, that's her. Oh, okay.
And so she, like, she has a show. Mm-hmm. She's like, I feel like every stand-up comedian has a show, like George Lopez, mm-hmm. like, everybody loves Raymond. Like, anybody who was a...
Like, that's just, like, the way of life for a comedian is to, like, eventually get a show of their own.
Yeah, and so I've literally watched George Lopez a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. I've seen... Everybody Loves Raymond. I love King of Queens. Anything like that. Like mm-hmm.
Like a lighthearted, like a comedy show. Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Because like a lot of the other shows that I watch, like Desperate Housewives, like any like lawyer show or anything like that, it can get really heavy, or like CSI, Criminal Minds, and get really heavy. Yeah. I've watched Friends like so many times. I've watched Friends so many times to the point where I can recite it word for word.
That's crazy.
I will.
But I get it. I get it though.
I will literally wait for like a punchline, and I will like, I'll wait. And then I'll say the punchline with it, whoever's saying like the punchline.
Dude, that's
also, what's your favorite Friends quote?
I don't know quotes like that because, again, I have a memory of a goldfish, so nothing really gets retained up here. But I think one of my favorite scenes was probably when Joey puts two and two together, that Chandler and Monica are together, and his eyes just widen. And there's like literally no lines going on, and it's just him just like realizing everything. And then Rachel finds out, and then they're both trying to like figure out like, you know, what they know. So it's
they
just,
don't know that we know that they know we know.
So yeah, I don't know. Joey's expressions are always the most funniest to me. So I love it when he comes on the screen. I'm like,
my very favorite quote from Friends. It's like a cow's opinion. It's a moo point.
Oh my gosh.
And then when he explains what it means, it's like a cow's opinion, it doesn't matter.
That's Joey, right?
And then Rachel turns and she's like, have I been living with him for too long, or did that actually make sense?
Wait, that's so funny. That's hilarious.
That is one of my favorite lines. It's like a cow's opinion. It's a moo point. And like,
I can't,
when you hear his explanation, it's like, wait.
Yeah. He's onto something.
Wait.
No, it's funny. It's even funnier that Rachel comes back with that.
And like, she's like, have why I been is that making with him sense? For so long? Or
that's something to worry about. Sense. Yeah, exactly. That's something to worry about.
It's just like because she like looks over and she's like,
what scene was that? Like, what opinion of a cow's are we talking about? Like, what scene was that? Do you remember?
I don't remember what it was, but I remember like it's towards the end. It's like when it's either when she's pregnant or. Mm-hmm. Before she gets pregnant, when she's living with Joey after the fire at Phoebe's place.
Yeah.
Monica and Chandler are married at that point, and they like live together.
Okay.
And then obviously We Were on a Break.
Yep.
I feel like every couple has their We Were on a Break. Jeez. Not We Were on a Break, but like one thing that they both vehemently disagree on.
Yeah.
And so for them, it was We Were on the Break. I feel like for every single couple has that.
That's fair.
Other notable moments were Regina Phalange. Hi, my name is Regina Phalange.
Oh, yeah. She used that lady everywhere, man. She really milked Regina Phalange.
Or I was once in Barcelona hiking Mount Tibidawa. The story.
Oh, the one story that everybody uses to catch a date or something. Yeah.
That one?
No, yeah, it was funnier because somebody else, I think Rachel used it.
Rachel used it.
And everybody had already discussed.
Rachel used it to come on to Ross, and that's when they had sex.
Yeah, but Ross already knew the story, like what that story entailed. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's funny. That's hilarious. The Friends is like, forever. Forever.
No, I don't want you to buy me a hat. I'm saying I am a hat.
Oh yeah.
That's from like one of the first episodes. Did you ever go to the Friends exhibit in San Francisco?
No, actually.
We did.
Oh, you did?
It was so nice. It was so much fun. So much fun.
It looks fun. I mean, to be able to see like the set that you would see every single day. What else was there?
There was
besides
like,
the set, because that's all I've seen.
So they had the fountain. Mm-hmm. And then like the couch, mm-hmm. they had like a little thing. They had like all sorts of like they had scripts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. They had the kitchen. They had like the little, like the balcony thingy. Mm-hmm. They had like all parts of the set. They had like a central perk downstairs. Mm-hmm. It was just like a lot of like, it was like a museum type of thing, you know? It was really cool though. It was very different than, you know?
And you guys were probably able to like take pictures. And
we took so many pictures. It was so.
It's a vibe though. I mean, if you're a Friends fan, it's worth it.
Yeah.
But if you like, if you're just like, if you watched whatever a couple seasons, I feel
pretty
like.
Cheap though. I think they were like $40.
Oh.
Per person, which is not
that's
bad.
Yeah, that's not bad at all. Yeah. I thought it would be more.
Yeah.
I think there was a Friends experience in New York, or like I was looking for things to do in New York at that time when we went, but we were just so full of like the you know, the New York touristy stuff that we were gonna do. I'm just like, we could definitely do this back home. Like, I've seen the Friends experience like in so many places. So
yeah, I wanna do the Warner Brothers tour. their lot tour.
Yeah.
Because you can do...
Wait, is this the Universal Studios one?
No. This is the Warner Brothers one. So you can tour Friends Experience. You can tour Gilmore Girls, like set of Gilmore Girls. Mm-hmm. And then there's something else that you can do. And it's all on like the same lot. Because they're all like Warner Brothers IP.
Oh, okay.
Universal is like Harry Potter, Desperate Housewives, Minions, Shrek, like that kind of stuff. And then they have like
Jurassic Park and all this
Indiana stuff. Jones and stuff like that. Have you ever been to Universal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually did that tour, the Universal Studios one. You know, like that one attraction that takes you around everywhere. Yeah. I did that in January for the first time, actually, really? Which is surprising.
Yeah. I've been to Universal Studios. I've never been to Disneyland, but I love Universal.
So every time you went to LA, it was always Universal.
It was always Universal because we were season pass holders.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. You want to take the advantage. Yeah.
And so I think my stepdad's work got like discounts or something like that. So
nice. Might as well, right? Yeah.
And we'd go like pretty much every year. Mm-hmm. If we only went once that year, we'd go at least twice the next year. We were always going to Universal.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got to go. Apparently, they have, like, Nintendo Land.
Mm-hmm.
And also, just like the experience of going to, like Universal, like, even go to, like, City Walk and stuff is, like, it's so worth it.
I think I'm the biggest fan of Harry Potter World because I grew up on Harry Potter. I'm sure you did, too. Yeah. So, it's just, like, going there and them having, like, you know, all the, like, stores and shops and stuff and, like, you know, the cobblestone, like, pavement. Like, everything is just so well set up. I'm just, like, I like to get lost in Harry Potter World from time to time. Yeah. And the rides are actually not that bad at all. I love the, is it, you know, the main one where you, like, sit down and then,
the
like,
castle?
There's a castle one and then the hippogriff one, right?
Yeah. There's one other one. There's three total.
Which one is the third one?
I don't remember, but there's three total. There's the castle, there's the hippogriff, and then there's one more. I don't remember what it's called.
Dude, we bought the robes from there and we never wore them after like one Halloween.
I have one.
Yeah.
I have one.
Which group are you? Which Gryffindor. Class? You're Gryffindor? Yeah.
I scream Gryffindor. I mean, I'm also a Leo, so.
Okay.
Gryffindor for sure.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
What about you?
So deep down, I am Ravenclaw. Mm-hmm. But you know what I did as a kid? I would take the test and I would answer the questions as if I was Harry Potter because I wanted to be Gryffindor so bad. I'm like, I'm going to be put into Gryffindor no matter what happens. Like, it's happening because that's where the cool kids are. So I would just change up the answers every time and then I got Gryffindor. I'm like, okay, I'm Gryffindor now. So, but I am deep down Ravenclaw. That's who I am.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I so want to revisit Harry Potter. I feel like I haven't seen like a Harry Potter movie in so long. We watched Fantastic Beasts during Thanksgiving
because
I feel like Fantastic Beasts is more palatable for like somebody.
It's less intense.
Yeah, for somebody who's not into like Harry Potter, like especially like my brothers and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like way more palatable. Than I feel. Like I agree. Harry Potter is.
And it's fun. Like it's a very light version of Harry Potter, I guess you could say.
I'm still upset about Johnny Depp not being Grindelwald because I feel like he made a really good Grindelwald.
Oh.
Because they have like the Mads Mikkelsen or whoever his name is.
Yeah.
But Jude Law is such a good young Albus Dumbledore.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Yeah. I personally think I just watched so many of the older Harry Potter movies that watching him like that, like, you know, just like it's a different side of Dumbledore that we haven't seen, right? And he's just like a different personality. Like, I feel like the personality is just didn't match. And I don't know if it's because Dumbledore is now so old and he's seen so much shit that he is who he is in the older movies. I don't know what is going on with the character development. But for me personally, it just, as cool of a guy he is, and the actor, yes, I agree. The actor does a really good job. But I just didn't really, I don't know. I feel like there was sort of a mismatch. But again, that's just me.
But I think that's the whole point of Dumbledore's character is like he was wise after, like he was wise when he met Harry because of all the shit that he went through and like all the shit that he went through with Grindelwald and then after the fact
and them introducing Voldemort. His brother too, like there's just like so much family drama that like is introduced through this new series.
I wish
crazy.
They had like talked more about like his sister. I feel like they kind of glossed over that. I feel like she was like a bigger aspect in the books.
That you watch year round no matter what happens.
Friends. New Girl, Friends, and How I Met Your Mother. There is no good or bad time for those.
Nice. Those are safe answers. Yeah. I think I watch Harry Potter around Christmas time every time.
Yeah.
So
I feel like Gilmore Girls, Harry Potter, and that would be like the only ones that I watch consistently.
Mm-hmm.
That's
a solid list, dude.
That are fall. Like that scream fall.
Okay.
And then like I feel like for summer and stuff, it has to be something like on the lighter side. It has to be like a kitschy sitcom, like Will and Grace or something like that. I recently watched like a few episodes of Frasier, and I feel like that's good for springtime. I don't know. Like it's weird. It's weird how like that has. But Gilmore Girls is like very, very fall.
Mm-hmm.
Like it screams fall.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I think like towards the winter time, and then like going into the next year, like January, February, right? Obviously, it's cold out. We want to snuggle in. So I'd want to watch something that's longer, that has like more seasons or more episodes, or it has multiple movies, like something like Harry Potter. So anything like that, I sort of like latch onto, and I just watch. Even The Office, I'll just binge it, and I'll just, you know.
Oh, Modern Family is a good springtime show.
Modern Family is a very good all year round show. I
love Modern Family in spring and summer. I feel like in fall, it's like too, I don't know.
I think I just need a good, like the thing is, okay, with me, good comedy is hard to find. I get cringed out so easily. Like people, like I feel like comedy is really hard to do, in my opinion. I think it's one of the hardest things to do next to horror. In terms of impressing me, right? Obviously, like this is a very, very subjective like topic, but I think that like people can really easily mess up. Like I like the kind of comedy that comes out of like dumb humor, and you know, some people just try too hard and then they kind of just mess up so easily. But on that note, The Office and Modern Family are probably like the perfect way to describe the kind of comedy that I would watch. Like it's really stupid, but stupid to the point where it's funny, right?
Who are some of your favorite stand-up artists?
I don't have any favorites. I've never been to a stand-up comedy. So that's a first.
You don't watch anything on like Netflix or anything?
No. Again, I'm a person of habit. That's the thing. Is like if I have something I want to watch, if it's not broke, I'm not gonna fix it. If I have a system, I'm not gonna change it. And that's literally, it just comes with my brain. It just comes with maps. Like that's just who I am. It's really hard for me to start new things unless I'm like in a very good mood or like in a very particular mood where I'm just like, I want to start something new. And if I get that burst, then great. That energy, I'm gonna like, you know, put it into a new show and invest into it. But a lot of times I'm just so like comfortable with what I'm in that I hate change. Which is crazy for me to say because I'm the most like spontaneous person I know in my circle where, you know, if I feel like, you know, flying like the Portugal trip that I took 2 years ago, I literally booked it like a month before I was supposed to go. And even then I didn't even pack or make my itinerary like until a week before I was supposed to go. So that was fairly last minute for me because I usually like to book things pretty far in advance because you know things get expensive and you just want to make sure if you're going somewhere you plan it the right way. But yeah, I'm a very like creature of habit, so I it's hard for me to get into shows like
you've
that.
Never seen like Russell Peters or anything like that?
I've seen like maybe one Russell Peters show. I've seen Russell X, but it's not something that I would go straight to if I'm going on Netflix. The comedy is not one of my top genres, basically. Yeah, how about you?
I love a lot of different like stand-up comedians. I love Katherine Ryan has I think two specials. Nikki Glaser.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna have you give me all these names at the end though, so whenever I do have those sparks of interest, I'll at least have good people to reel me into comedy.
Nikki Glaser. I mean Russell Peters is obvious. Hasan Minhaj, Veer Das is, if you want to check out comedy, Veer Das is 100%.
Okay.
100% your guy. Uh-huh. He is so funny. Mm-hmm. And he is like, sometimes it's like his comedy's like out of pocket, but it's so like he's so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like that mix between kind of Hindi, kind of like American. Mm-hmm. And he's so incredibly funny. Mm-hmm. And he's just like such a cool guy in general. Yeah. Like during the pandemic he did like virtual like comedy parties and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just love him so much. Oh,
Dave Chappelle's funny.
No, Chris Titus.
Okay.
I love Chris Titus.
Okay.
Chris Titus is, but he has like, edgy humor. So if you're like super woke, you're not gonna like his, like his comedy can get into like dark comedy.
Okay.
I didn't really like it at first, but he grows on you.
I think I'm into dark. I think I'm into dark comedy more than
you. Oh, 100%.
That's so funny.
He's so like, he's one of those people where I think it's so funny when people like make other people laugh and they can keep like they can smile, but like they don't laugh with them.
Yeah.
And like he's just such a good like deliverer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, love Chris Titus so much.
Yeah. He's a good performer. Right?
He's definitely a good performer.
Yeah.
I mean, like Eddie Murphy was like super popular when I was a kid.
Kevin Hart's funny.
Kevin Hart. Yeah.
I mean, he's yeah.
Oh my God. Did you watch or did you see clips of the Tom Brady roast?
Not yet. Everybody around me has seen it, and I have not seen it yet.
If you like, you don't have to watch the whole thing because it's kind of dumb. But Nikki Glaser's like portion, it's like a couple minutes long.
Okay.
She murdered. She was so funny. Like it was like only a couple of minutes, and she was bang for bang, dude.
Yeah.
Like one of the jokes, she was like, Kevin Hart is, he's like 5 foot something and 150 pounds and 155 pounds after The Rock comes in him. And
oh my gosh. Whoa. Oh my God.
When I tell you, I died.
Dude.
I can't. She was so funny. And it just, that's oh funny. My God. It was so, like, her whole thing was so well written. It just.
Yeah.
I definitely have to check it out. Like, she was, like, I think the second or third person to go.
How many
on.
People were up there roasting?
It was, like, 20 people or something. I don't know. Oh, okay. There was a bunch of people. Honestly, there was a couple of people of note that were, like, I was there for, but everyone else was kind of just, like.
Yeah,
like football people that I don't know who they are.
Right, right, yeah. The jokes have to be relatable in order to be funny. Like,
but like Nikki Glaser, Nikki Glaser was so fucking funny.
Yeah.
But the funny part was that Kim Kardashian went up to make a toast and she got booed, and they cut it out of the live stream.
No, are you serious? Damn.
Because people who were recording it in real time,
they had it. Yeah.
But like that's on the playback, you don't see that.
That's so funny. They should have kept it in.
Dude, she got booed. Like as she was going on stage, she got booed. Like, they were, like, booing her. And then she was like, guys, seriously?
Yeah,
and
how did she react to that? Like, what do you do at that point?
And people kept going. And then she was just like, okay. And then Kevin Hart had to, like, kind of.
That's so sad.
Do you like reality TV?
The only reality I've seen is Love is Blind. And that's because I'm a hopeless romantic. And sometimes it's just funny watching this shit because it's not realistic. In my opinion, my hot take.
I've only seen.
It's so funny to watch them like, oh, I think I'm in love with you. Oh my God, me too. And it's just like they've only heard each other's voices. And
did
like,
you see the whole Megan Fox drama?
I haven't seen any of the latest stuff that's going on.
There was like a girl that like, fill me in. Was like, he was like the guy was like, oh, what celebrity do you resemble? And she was like, oh, well. People think I look like Megan Fox.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I saw that clip on Instagram.
And then he was like, she does not. He was like, I feel like I got duped. And I was like,
that's so
she does kind of look like Megan Fox, though. And I was like.
Wasn't she like beating around the bush with it? Like she wasn't being upfront with it.
Well, she was like, oh, it's just because I have brown hair. And like, I like people think I look like Megan Fox. And like, I don't know. I saw the resemblance. I get it. But like.
I don't think that's something you want to be telling. Like you can kind of like, from that statement. I haven't seen the show. I don't know who this chick is. But just from that little segment, if I were to judge her based off of just that, like she just seems so pretentious and like self-centered, right? Like people tell me I look like this.
Well, my thing is like he asked her, right?
He so do like, you think his expectations were just too high? Like he literally expected Megan Fox like walk out of that.
Hold like, on. That's what I tunnel? Thought. But I feel like that's unrealistic. But then also, like there was somebody pointing out, they were like, Megan Fox is like a sex symbol, right?
Yeah.
They were like you know.
I don't know what he was thinking. I mean, was he cute? I don't remember. Like, was he handsome? The other dude?
It was okay looking.
Yeah.
This was the girl.
Okay, she's pretty.
But I can see how she looks, like, yeah, how people tell her. Like, her face is just, like, yeah, longer.
No, she has, yeah, yeah, yeah. But, like, she has,
but
like,
I understand, yeah, why
she has the qualities.
Yeah, I understand, yeah, why. This is also Megan Fox with, like, a lot more work done, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, she looks,
yeah,
like, older. She looks,
she looks like Megan Fox without the work done.
She looks like Megan Fox on New Girl.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
She's a natural.
Just her face is longer. So, like, no, I she's was pretty, like, she's I pretty, get it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. No, she's pretty.
And so she's kind of funny, though, because, like,
but I don't get why he would take it so seriously to the point where he was expecting, like, I don't know.
But anyways, so, like, she's on TikTok, and she was, like, she kind of, like, leaned into it, and then that's when, like, the memeing kind of stopped, and she was just, like, well, like, this would be a great time for anybody who's ever told me that I look like Megan Fox to speak up.
Oh.
Or forever hold your peace.
To defend her honor.
Right? But like, she kind of, like, leaned into it. So, like, people didn't want it. Like, people didn't find it funny.
Nice.
Anymore,
okay,
right?
Good. Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
I was like,
yeah,
dude, okay.
That's the right way to do it.
You won this situation because he looks like a douchebag.
Yeah.
Right? And damn. And people were like, you don't even look like Megan Fox.
Right. Well, people are going to say that it could be Megan Fox saying, people say I look like Megan Fox, and people will find a way to bash on that person.
Exactly. Like, and I'm like,
it could be Megan Fox acting like she's like some like random chick, right?
Yeah.
And people will still be dumb enough to like it's just trolling at the end of the day. It's just bullying. It's just like, nah. But yeah, Love is Blind is an interesting concept. I think that's the one reality show that I would watch only because, I mean, one, I know what to expect, sort of. But
there's
two,
still
it's
structure.
Just, yes. And there are new people every time. Like that one season, I don't know if it was season 2 or 3, but it was based in Seattle. And at that time I was in Seattle. So like when it got released. So obviously I was invested, like, okay, Seattle people, let's see what these, you know, what Seattle has to offer in terms of like the characters and personalities and all that good stuff. But yeah. Yeah.
Did you ever watch Indian Matchmaking?
Yes, I have seen Indian Matchmaking.
There was an episode that was done here in Davis.
I have seen that.
And that guy.
Apurva. Was it Apurva and the other guy?
I don't remember what the guy's name was.
Okay.
But he was the most pretentious, ugly, like, douchebag.
Wait, I think I remember this
and
dude.
I was like, this is not how people in Davis are.
Yeah.
Stop giving us a bad name.
He represented Davis in a really bad light.
Yeah. And I was just like, he was so just... he was so whack.
Weren't they at like Burgers and Brew or something? Like they were here.
They were at Sophia's Thai Bar.
Oh, they were at Sophia's. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was just like, bro. Like they had like a whole like thing in Davis and I was like, this is what you got?
I know.
This?
Bro, I could have applied for that shit. Like, put me on the show. I'll give Seema Auntie plenty to talk about, man. She will roast my ass to the ground.
But apparently
I will
like,
give her content.
It was highly successful because now they have like a Jewish matchmaking.
Oh, really?
No.
And do they have their own version of like a Seema Auntie?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I never really got into like reality TV.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Same.
Like Love Island, none of that, or Big Brother, Lost. Survivor,
there's like, what, Lovers Inferno? There's like a couple of them. There's like a shit ton of them.
I don't know.
It's just for
people
me, you kind of
like,
know what to expect. You kind of know what's going to be there. And it's like a waste of time.
People who are into like reality TV are very serious about it. So I'm like,
oh. Is that a topic we like should not touch in hopes of getting negative subscribers out here?
I don't care. Yeah. I mean, like, you know, if you want to watch it, cool. Like,
I mean, you know, it's just whatever like appeals to you, right? Like if you like sort of tuning into drama that's not your drama, then that's the perfect place to be. Yeah. Like that's perfect to watch
also
because
talking
it's
about drama. One of my guilty pleasures is just seeing drama unfold on whatever, like, so, like, this whole, like, Drake and Kendrick drama.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Oh, my God. I don't even care that much. I don't even know them like that.
I know,
but
I know.
I'm so invested.
Right.
I think
once you see what's going on, like, the punches being thrown by other side and, like, whatever, like, you know, verses they come out with and all that, then you're kind of stuck. You're kind of hooked on. Right. Yeah. And you're like, okay, what's next? Like, what's going to happen next? Who's going to say what?
Yeah.
Or the maps thing where like he was like naming his house or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah. I mean, it got kind of out of pocket, but I was just so like, I was just so like when I heard like Kendrick's like trying to diss like J. Cole and Drake and all that. And I was just like, I'm very interested because why?
You know?
But
it's just like it felt like nothing was happening for the longest time. Is it just me? Like before this, right?
Yeah.
So it's just like it's a little something happening in the rap hip-hop industry.
But I think that's why I love, like, Do We Know Them, is because they're always talking about, like, drama. Mm-hmm. Drama that isn't, like, it's not, like, murder.
Right, you know what right, I mean?
It's, like, very, like...
It's a couple notches up. It's not that crazy.
It's very, like, well, like what Do We Know Them talks about is, like, internet drama. And it's, like, it's very low stakes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Unless it's, like, Colleen Ballinger or, like, you know, like, random weirdos on the mm-hmm. internet. I feel like that's a different story. But, mm-hmm. yeah, for the most part, it's just, like, you know... Mm-hmm. I love like the little spats on TikTok, because TikTok's notorious for
That's
spats.
Dangerous, dude. Cause I get it. I get the drama. Like, and I can't say that I haven't. And this is gonna sound like very nerdy of me, but honestly, I've already established that like a couple episodes in. So it's just like, we know, right? The one drama that I'm following right now that I know hands down you probably don't know anything about, probably because it's just so nerdy, but or maybe you do, who knows. So there's a guy named Professor Dave Explains on YouTube, and he does a lot of he pushes out a lot of educational content on like various topics, right? Like scientific topics primarily.
Is he kind of like Hank Green?
Who's that?
You don't know who Hank Green is?
Who's Hank Green?
Hank
Green?
Yeah, the guy...
Bill Nye? I know Bill Nye.
No. Hank Green was the guy that did the Crash Course videos. On YouTube?
Crash Course videos?
You've seen...
Oh, okay. Like a bunch of Crash Course videos on what topic?
On everything. They had, like, AP History.
Okay,
they
maybe. Probably, dude. Didn't know it was Hank. It was this dude named Hank Green behind all the...
He did all the Crash Course. Like, they were super popular when I was younger.
Oh, was it?
YouTube.
Yeah, like, there's, like, history.
It was animated.
Okay. That's probably why.
Where it was, like, Crash Course.
Yeah.
And then it would, like, you know, and then, like, you would do, like...
Okay. This
know,
is all coming
you,
back to
you
me.
You know what I'm talking
School
about.
School was a while ago, sister.
Because no, they were, like, super popular when uh-huh. we were kids.
Oh, okay. Then, yeah. Then, yeah, animated Crash Course, it sounds really familiar. Yeah. But, yeah, so this dude, yeah, he does, he's just an educator, right, on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But he has been getting into it with this guy who is basically, he's pushing, like, Christian agenda, but... He's on the more crazy side of things, where it's basically evolution versus religion. That's basically what it comes down to. But so how do I say this without like offending anybody? But basically, like, they had a debate recently, right? It's all a scientific debate, right? And this guy is saying, I forgot his name. It's not coming to my head, but, and he is a Christian educator, but he basically is like pulling shit out of his ass. Like stuff that's not real. He's saying like scientific, you know, like he's coming out with lab results that aren't real. He's putting himself on scientific papers that he barely contributed to. So like he's basically a fraud, right? And they've been having a back and forth because he's been debunking all of that guy's videos on YouTube, and that guy has been responding to him over and over again. So they're having like a ping pong match, right? And obviously like these are the videos that are getting him the most views, the ones that are debunking all of his like creationist, like, you know, whatever, like propaganda videos, whatever they are, right? And this guy debunks a lot of other things, like Professor Dave, he debunks flat earthers and like all these other like, you know, crazy people out there who have these like crazy claims. But at the end of the day, there's so much drama, like there's so much tension between them, that at one point he finally said, okay, let's debate in person, right? So he goes to their university. I think it was Brown University where that professor is teaching at. And it was just the craziest thing, dude. The drama like that unfolded. He was yelling at Dave's face, and he was making like random chemical reactions on the board, and he was like, explain this, and he was just like, draw an equation, and then I don't know, it was just so crazy. It was just so stupid and dumb. Like that whole debate was barely even a debate, because there was just no like educational elements involved. It was just a guy screaming at one guy and that guy telling him to calm down, and it was basically dramatic. It was literally, for lack of like, you know, better terms, it was so dramatic, and it was very entertaining, not gonna lie. So now like I have both of them subscribed on YouTube just so I could catch up with it. I would be like, okay, who's next? Like, let's talk about fossils, guys. Like, I want to know what you guys have to say, you know. And it's just like, I'm not even a big like person who wants to learn about evolution. Like, I'm not, you know, like, I'm not geeky like that, but it's just a drama that unfolds between them and how he's like, okay, this guy's stupid. He's in La La Land. He thinks he's the smartest guy in the room. And then that guy is just like yelling at his face and calling him stupid. And it's just fun, you know, it's really fun. But yeah, like if it's YouTube drama like that, where you see something unfold, I do watch a lot of debates, by the way, on YouTube. Like if you ask me how I spend my time, it's a lot of debates on YouTube where it's like atheist versus Muslim, or like a lot of concepts unfold from these debates, dude. A lot of cool, like crazy ideas that we just don't think about in terms of spirituality and what, you know, what is required to be religious, or, you know, why can't we be both? Like, why can't we be religious and spiritual and also a scientist, right? And what sort of like disqualifies one or the other or whatever it is. There's just like so much that comes out of these debates that makes you kind of think. And that's sort of like why or how I discovered this guy, was because they were just having a back and forth. And I love seeing, first of all, I love seeing flat earthers get debunked and look stupid. I don't know why. It's just, it's really, it's like a cult like situation, right? Where they all just want to feel like they fit in a community, so they adopt a certain kind of mentality or a way of thinking. But that cult stuff, that really, like, that's what I watch every day when I eat my meals. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever seen, do you know who Jess Pearly Things is?
No.
She's like a pick me. She's like, she's just annoying. She's like very like misogynistic and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And she's so like delusional.
Okay.
And like her whole thing is we should abolish divorce. Like women don't want to work anymore. Okay. Women like don't cook for their husbands, this, that, and the third. I absolutely love when she gets like decimated in debates.
Oh yeah.
Like when she did a debate with like Ethan Klein of like the H3 podcast, mm-hmm. and it was hilarious.
What was the debate about?
Like he was just asking her questions. He was mm-hmm. like, oh, like what are your sources? And she was like, I've talked to a lot of women. Uh-huh. He was like, okay, but like what are your sources? Like have you read a study? Like right. are there stats? And she was like, I've talked to a lot of women. And I'm like
right.
And yeah. It's so cringy because it's like, okay, like you're like, you don't realize you're being
right,
like just destroyed on this debate. Yeah. And I think that just makes it so much funnier.
I think that's what makes a debate like very fun to watch, when one person is very clearly wrong and the other person just knows, okay, this is my chance. Like,
yeah, you know, and like when they're very clearly,
just keep fireballing them
when they're very clearly wrong, but they also don't realize that.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They're like hella absent-minded and stuff. Funny. Yeah, because they're so full of themselves. Like once, like there is always that one person in a debate who doesn't get the hint or doesn't realize what's really going on.
Exactly.
Right.
And that to me is just wild.
Yeah.
And that is definitely a guilty pleasure, because it's like, yeah. Bro, you're so wrong. You don't even know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's, yeah, it is fun to watch. And it's because we're not the ones getting destroyed. Like we exactly. are just watching it all unfold, it's and like just enjoying it. Yeah. Damn. So I do have a dramatic side. I thought I was the type to stay away from drama. Like I'm like, okay, I can't deal with drama. Like I don't want any drama in my life. But you're right, though. Like, watching drama from behind a screen is, like, a whole different story.
Yeah.
Because it's just, like, it's there and easily accessible. And it has its, like, magic to it. Its spiciness.
That's why it's a guilty pleasure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's actually a really good guilty pleasure. We should have started off with that, because that's probably, like, more so than DoorDash, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it's definitely something to be guilty about. Trying to be good people out here just to watch somebody get destroyed in a debate. Oh, God.
Definitely. Definitely.
But good talk.
Yes. So those are our guilty pleasures. Let us know down below what are your guilty pleasures. Yeah, don't forget to do the YouTube things. Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe if you guys are listening on the audio version. Don't forget to follow and do the podcasty things. And we will see you in an episode super, super soon.
Until next time.
Bye. Bye.